podcast is called Okay Stupid.
Welcome to Okay Stupid, the horniest podcast in Brooklyn.
Hello.
Hello.
I was, you know, I always...
Glasses on for the Zoom recording.
Those are good specs. Now you look like me.
Don't want to strain my eyes.
Surprise. Yeah. Sorry to bust your boners out there, listeners. Yours are cool, though. You guys both have, like, these clear frames.
Yeah.
Warby Parker.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Obviously. I just got some Warbies.
Oh.
Why don't you wear them? I don't wear them inside. They're sunglasses.
Oh.
It's not like, you know, I live in Park Slope, not Bushwick, so we don't do that. In my
purely functional.
Yeah, purely functional.
Park Slope versus Bushwick. Okay, the gauntlet has been thrown.
Williamsburg is in the Bushwick sector.
Right, you know. For sure. It's different up there.
Okay, I have kind of a crazy thing that I discovered last night. I just moved into this new apartment. It's a one bedroom, so it's been paradise. However, I think I might have discovered it's one fatal flaw. So my bedroom window opens and there's kind of a window right next to it from the adjacent apartment, like an L shaped, and we're both on that L. Yeah. And we were watching TV and I swear I'm hearing like snip, 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 snip. And then I pause it and I look out the window and I see the man next door clipping his nails.
No.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, what the hell? And then I like realized.
Then we do, okay, so then we keep going, keep watching the TV, and then we hear him sniffling. We hear him, like, breathing.
Oh.
And so we close the window, and, like, I think that solves some of it, but it's finally cold enough that we don't have to use the AC unit.
Right.
And I'm just hearing all these noises.
Because you have never been there without an AC.
And then I'm like, what has he heard from me?
Probably a lot.
All my farts?
No, because you've had the AC on.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But anyway,
now it's
terrifying.
Yeah.
Kind of the downside of living in New York. The only one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've really been sharing air with our neighbors the whole time during the pandemic because we've spent all of our time on our back porches and they're like 6 feet away from each other. So I've watched their puppy grow into a dog, you know. I know who their son dated. He's had two girlfriends this summer.
Wow, 6 months.
And the second one had
this summer?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
summer.
What the
they
hell?
Came right over to the house and
two
one of them
COVID girlfriends
was like very shy looking and ginger. And then one of them was like had pink hair, and when he started dating the girl with pink hair, he got a mohawk and bleached his hair blonde, and it's like a huge mohawk.
He also got cooler.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We love a malleable king.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they're still together. I hear him like kind of talking to her on the phone sometimes through the kitchen window.
I'm rooting for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that family.
Harry, have you had any interactions with your neighbors lately?
No. I mean, nobody that lives in my building or anything interesting. I've struck up a lovely friendship with my, like, the person who lives right next to us. But she's actually moving out.
No.
Well, so this is maybe interesting. She's moving out, but we still have her, access to her roof
right.
via her like pin number or whatever.
Yeah.
The secret code,
right? For us to still go up there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Do it until you get caught.
People do that to use pools. Like,
right. Right.
Don't worry about just sitting on the roof. You can always just say you walked over from yours.
Jumped over. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be funny if you.
Is there a big app? Okay. Well, another one.
I thought about, yeah, doing that, but landing the jump. Not
how
missing.
How far is it?
I think it's doable. I think
three
it's like
feet?
5 feet.
It looks deceptively close.
Like if you
that's
fell,
not close.
You would die. 1,000%.
Yeah. That's far.
Right.
It's a big jump.
Yeah. I don't have a good perception of that. I was watching that show, The Floor is Lava, on Netflix. And I was like, this looks so fucking easy. I was getting so mad. Because they look so close together. But maybe it's another one of those, I don't know, 5 feet things.
I don't know. I guess I haven't done a long jump since middle school. So I'm not really sure what I'm capable of.
My brother, when he was a little kid, this is like a famous story for my brother. He used to play this game called Try to Survive, where he would set up like, he basically predicted the floor is lava. He would set up like booby traps for himself, essentially.
Wow.
Like a yoga ball and a skateboard and like a rake and like all this like dumb shit that you could easily get injured from. And he would just
rake.
Kind of try to like go through the obstacle course he set up for himself. But it was like, set up to fail.
Damn, Netflix needs to cut him a check.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody was spying. You guys had an Alexa and it was spying on you.
And he would scream like every time before every round or whatever, he would scream, "Try to survive."
How old was he when he was?
Like 23. No. He was like 11.
Okay, he's the cool, more imaginative sibling.
Yeah.
That's so funny. When I was a little kid, I used to play hide and go seek with all my older siblings, but they're all like a lot older than me. They're all like 10 years older than me. And so I was really dumb compared to them whenever we played games together. And whenever we played hide and seek, I would like just go in like behind something and hang a blanket in front of where I was hiding. Like I'd go like under the desk and like just hang a blanket over the desk because they couldn't
put
see
a big
me
old target on.
Because I just didn't understand like object permanence. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was like, they won't know I'm here.
That's I've mostly heard about that phenomenon in babies, but
well,
it's possible that you still hadn't developed it.
There's still some thought. Maybe I was too.
That's so cute though. Yeah. Like, look at this dumb little baby idiot.
Yeah, and they had to like pretend. They'd be like, I don't know. Maybe I'll check the other room. And I'd be completely fooled by it. I'd be like, I got him.
Damn, if only life were that simple.
Should we bring in our
besties? Let's bring them in.
Okay, I would love to introduce our friend, our chef friend, who is the third chef I've met in the last year or so, and it's really cool to me. I really admire your industry. A friend of the pod, Abigail, please welcome Aaron Pobereskin.
I told you weren't going to get it right.
I second guessed it because I was like, but I was already saying Pober when I pronounced it wrong, so I was like, well, I have to reverse everything I said phonetical. When I tried.
That was
Pobereskin.
It's like an even number of syllables.
Yeah, it is. It lands on a nice, you know.
Yeah, like seeing it spelled out. Yeah. And then joining Aaron, we have a comedian, sort of comedian, I would say, friend of the pod. Please welcome. Oh, they're both drinking gin tonight. Please welcome Sandy Malera.
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, he disappeared into Rob Pattinson in that very moment.
And that's when we're going
to
disappear.
That was to reel you in.
Yeah.
And Sandy, I should say, is also a fashionista.
Fashionista.
Not an official title necessarily, but
interesting. I'm kind of like a hype beast, kind of like into fashion and things. No. I like streetwear, but like that's kind of it. And then I spend a lot of money on clothes, but I guess I am a fashionista.
Do you wear a lot of streetwear, or is it you're mostly buying other styles?
Yeah, like I have this sick Supreme windbreaker right next to me that I love, and then I have a few other streetwear things. But it's rare that I do buy it.
Because I always just miss the window.
Here's the thing. It's all about being a hype beast is hard because it's all about the drop. You have to like be there when shit drops. Yeah. And you always miss it and things sell out. But a lot of the stuff I've gotten from like vintage, whatever, online stuff. Mm-hmm. And my friends do this like BLM sidewalk sale in Greenpoint every other Sunday where all the proceeds are donated to like different BLM organizations every week.
Awesome.
But two guys that run it are like, one of them works for Supreme and the other one works for Palace. So like,
whoa,
they have all these hookups and it's just like, it's like
that's good to know.
Like a block full of just like streetwear. That's like $25 for t-shirts, wow, like $45 for pants. Cool. I got these thick Versace pants there for like $40.
That's amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And it's outdoor. Yeah. So it's like, you know, COVID
outdoor
safe.
Everyone has a mask and all your money 100% of the proceeds are donated. Yeah. So you don't feel bad.
That's
about
amazing.
It, so that's kind of like my new thing.
I'm gonna
right
do
now
that.
That's awesome.
Instead of
sounds
doing
sounds very accessible.
Yeah,
yeah,
which I think is if you're not in the fashion world, you can maybe have trouble with accessibility to what's in style.
Yeah,
I totally I have a passport to the Banana Republic, so that's sort of that's,
wait, that
well it's a credit card. It's a Banana Republic.
Is that your only credit card?
Well, it provides some incentives. you know, 30% off plus 10% off, and I can buy some clothes that look good.
Yeah, there you go. What's your favorite item from Banana Republic?
My favorite item? They do these, like, it's like a shirt and a jacket. It's called a shirt jacket.
A jacket.
A shirt jacket.
It's like a jacket.
It's like a thick button-down shirt. You know, it's, you know, it's September in New York. It's kind of like sweater weather, but just introductory sweater weather. And that's, so if you want to look kind of sharp but clean, I would say shirt jacket.
I will say, I was at the park today. It was like the first day where it was like 69 degrees, not 70.
Yeah.
Man in a peacoat. I'm like, bitch, what?
Okay, slow down. I was in the park on Sunday or Saturday, and I saw a man, not in a peacoat, but like a puffed jacket.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
It was like 80 degrees. I was wearing my bra out, and he was wearing a puffed jacket walking alongside me. It was crazy.
I saw one.
It seems really out of place.
Wait, really?
People really rush into it.
People are breaking out in snow boots. Yeah, you know, she looked kind of like kind of rough, you know, maybe is going through some troubled time in her life, but snow boots, puffy black pants, black jacket, black purse, a lot of black clothing. I don't know, it was a beautiful day. Today is a day for like colorful
outfits. That's so true. This is when you use all the fun stuff.
Well, maybe it's because it's after Labor Day. She was like, she really took the don't wear white, like don't wear any color.
Don't wear white until when? Next Labor Day? Do you only wear white on Labor Day? Or is it till the end of the year?
Memorial Day. It's Memorial Day, right?
Is that so until it's a long time?
Yeah. Well,
sorry.
But it's just white pants, right?
Well, yeah.
All of us are wearing white today.
It's supposed to be like seersucker white, like any like striped, like linen.
Seersucker is the most racist fabric, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I looked it up recently, what all the rules were for patrol. I've always been like, I've never learned about this.
You were checking yourself.
I was checking myself. I was making sure I was following all the rules, and I am.
Just don't wreck yourself. Gotta check it before you wreck it.
Yeah. It sounds like, well, none of us
classic,
did. Classic,
you know, very wise anecdotal phrase. I think it comes from Socrates.
Yes, definitely has ancient origins. Okay, we wanted to ask you guys as a little icebreaker, but I guess you didn't really introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm introduced. Okay, that's amazing.
We would love to hear who you are, maybe what you do, where you live, where you're from, anything relevant that we need to know. Maybe like your little dating app bio snapshot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you like to start? Would you like me to start?
You can go.
I love the negotiation.
Yeah. If we're going to, okay. So since you mentioned, what does the dating profile bio say? I struggle with this sometimes to really accurately sum myself up. So
it's hard.
So I used like a reference from my roommate, Dave. And my bio says, my friend Dave says that I'm serious and have a good heart. and while it's actually true, I think it leaves some room to decide whether or not, you know, is Dave real? If Dave is real, does Dave actually say this? But I think that one great way to judge someone that you don't really know yet is by meeting their friends. What I think is true of me is that all of my good friends are people who I think are terrific human beings that inspire me to be a better human being, that teach me things. They're cooler than I am. They're nicer than I am. So if you meet my friends and, you know, they like to hang out with me, then I think that's a pretty good gauge of who I am as a person. I would hope.
So, and that's why you bring your friends on the first date.
Little shout out from Dave. You should bring your friends with you on a first date. It's an interesting idea.
It would be fun if it was like a group activity. Well, that's what this is.
Yeah, maybe record it, do a little podcast.
Tell us about your chef.
If I brought my friends with me. Well, yeah, I'm a chef. A lot of people have notions of what they think a chef is. Well, let me break it down for you. It's the French word for manager. It doesn't really mean anything. It means you're a manager. You are the head of a post or a station or a restaurant or a business. And it just gets thrown around a lot. So it's like chef is the career. You're shooting to be a chef. But getting there, you could be a commis, which is like an apprentice. You could be a chef de partie, which is like a line cook or someone who manages a small portion of a menu in a restaurant or has very acute responsibilities. You could be a sous chef, which is under the chef, which is like a lower level manager. There are a lot of different things that chef means, and it's not really always the person running the restaurant. These days, you know, you hear about private chefs. That's an interesting idea because you don't really manage anyone or anything as a private chef, certainly not a business. Although it's very admirable, you know, you can make a lot of money that way, support yourself with a good lifestyle.
So if I'm a chef. I would want to be one of the chefs that gets invited with the basketball teams into the bubble, like the team's chef.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's what I want to be.
So there's also like,
why can't you do that?
I want to be in the I want to be in the bubble too.
One reason, number one reason I became a chef is because I wasn't very good at t-ball or sports.
Like early, he's like three. He's like, I'm a chef now.
Find me with the baseball team in the box, you know, watching guys hit balls with sticks.
There's actually a Disney Channel movie about that. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off.
Yes!
Yes! Go off. I watched that recently again because I have my friend's Disney password, whatever.
Yeah, there you go. It's about a kid who loves to cook, but he's also on the baseball team, and that's a real dichotomy.
And everyone's like, he wants to do home ec, and everyone's like, you're a girl if you eat salad. He's so bullied.
Definitely, and yeah, early aughts.
Really aughts. And he like makes this, he tries to cook something for once in his life and is in his kitchen like throwing a bunch of shit together and nothing tastes good. But then like yeah. He has like a whole mess in his kitchen and like things are dripping from the ceiling from like an explosion that happened. And it's like purple goop and then he tries it and he's like, we've got something.
It's almost always how it happens.
That's my idea of like, a chef. Yeah, it's either NBA bubble chef or $9 million chef. And he makes the hot dogs for everyone, those glizzies, those epic glizzies.
Aaron, do you know what a glizzy is? Because I just learned.
What as a chef, glizzy? Are you familiar with a glizzy?
Yeah, we just learned what glizzies are.
Is glizzy an amalgamation of other words?
Wait, what do you think it means?
What do I think a glizzy means? I have absolutely... It is a word passing understanding. I have no idea what it means.
It's a hot dog.
It's what the kids call hot dogs these days.
It means hot dog. It originally meant a Glock, but now it means a hot dog.
It didn't mean gun. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
It meant a gun, now it means a hot dog.
When I talk about hot dogs, I either call them a hot dog or like maybe like a Hebrew National.
Yeah. I only eat Hebrew Nash. I won't settle for anything less.
Same. Yeah. Same, you know, same.
It's Friday night. Let's go out, drink some beers, grab some Hebrew Nashes. You know,
have some
Hebrew some Nash.
Pretty common occurrence in Brooklyn. I know a good card. It's on the corner of the Barclay Center.
We're like in Manhattan. I'm like, that's far away.
they're grilling them. The cart is actually a shopping cart. It's got a container with some coals in it. They rest the hot dogs, you know, gently where you would place your baby in the cart if you were shopping in a grocery store. And they're coddled.
Have you ever had a water dog?
I don't do, you know, not kosher. I'm just kidding. No, I've never had a water dog. I like a water dog, but only in New York City.
Water dog is like the cart hot dog.
Yeah, they store them in like steaming hot water.
Yeah. Mm. I've never had one actually.
Really?
I had it once and I was underwhelmed because it wasn't a Hebrew Nash.
I think it's one of the conditions for being a New Yorker though is you must have a hot water, a dirty water dog.
I was going to say, me. I've only ever heard them referred to as dirty water dogs.
I'm like, have you had one of those New York water dogs?
Well, it's a dirty water dog and water. I think that along with three different forms of identification, the DMV requires proof that you've eaten a dirty water dog before issuing a license.
Yeah.
To be a New Yorker.
True. You can't get a lease. Right. You got to eat one on spot.
Yeah, you can't get a lease without it. Very true.
Sandy,
I guess, do you want to intro yourself? I know we keep getting so...
This conversation, it just keeps flowing.
Like a dirty water dog. Yeah.
Exactly. It's a
very tangential conversation, but we should direct our focus now to Sandy, please.
My name is Sandy. I live in Crown Heights, which is kind of new. I used to live in Williamsburg, but I've moved like 5 times in the last 3 years.
Wow, that sucks.
That's actually on the list of requirements to be a true New Yorker. Exactly. You haven't had the hot dogs, but you've done the moving, which is a good sign.
That's how I get away with it. I just have to keep on moving until they find out that I haven't had a water dog.
They're trying to track you down.
I live in Crown Heights now. I'm from Long Island. And I work in comedy. I work at a comedy production company.
That's awesome. Cool.
Those are kind of the breaks.
The basics. Yeah. Okay, we also wanted to ask you guys as a little icebreaker.
Yeah.
And you kind of already touched on it, but maybe you have a different answer. Who is your celebrity crush?
Okay, well, I kind of gave that away. Rob Pattinson is one of them. I also like Harry Styles.
Of course.
I love...
You're doing the greatest hits.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, I've talked about this recently, and I remember like not being able to list off much more than that. Oh, Shia LaBeouf.
Oh,
yes.
That's a good one.
Yes,
like, I'm a gay woman, and I'm in love with all of those men.
Yeah. Wow,
perfect. Shia in his Biden mask.
I know. It was with his pumpkin patch t-shirt on. Like, yeah. I know exactly the picture.
We all follow Shia's outfits Instagram.
Shia's fits. Yes.
Shia's fits.
Okay. What else do I like? Those are kind of the heavy hitters.
Those are good.
Those are some good ones. Those are definitely some good ones. I would say my celebrity crushes, not necessarily ranked in order of importance, but Laura Logan from CBS 60 Minutes. the South African. You guys think it's funny. Many people don't even know who she is, which is
remarkable. I don't know who she is.
I have no idea who she is. I'm going to look her up. What's her name?
To catch up on CBS 60 Minutes, please. Laura Logan.
Know. What else do we have to do?
Okay. That's a really good one.
A little more typical Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Whoever it is that plays.
We grew up in the same town.
Really?
You and Natalie?
In Israel.
Me and Natalie. No, he's from my opposite.
He was Israeli.
Not everyone's a Hebrew national, Aaron.
A Hebrew glizzy. That doesn't work that well. Glizzy national? Nah.
Glizzy national.
Yeah, glizzy national.
Natalie Portman. Whoever plays Ainsley Hayes in The West Wing, which is the Republican Southern lawyer.
I'm sick. Are any of these women thing. Under 60 years old?
You look, I know. You look a woman in a suit.
Yeah. No, a powerful woman. That's actually, yeah, I mean.
I would say so. I'd say that these women all represent women, the greatest strengths that you would hope to find in any human being, man or woman.
Right.
Which is why they're particularly attractive. And maybe,
those are great answers.
And maybe a younger Carla Bruni.
I'm like, okay, what about Zazie Beetz? Like, give me something.
Who's Carla?
Carla?
I don't know.
musician, supermodel, wife of Sarkozy, the current or former president, premier of France.
Oh,
she's had quite the career. Bella Hadid and her.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, wow. She's like a... She's
so a hottie.
Yeah.
Looks
wow.
Like my
she's
mom.
A musician. A musician.
Like a girl
yeah.
boss.
Mm-hmm. She looks like a girl boss. I love that.
You guys don't hear these names often for the celebrity crushes?
Well, this is the first time we've asked it.
Yeah, this so, we've tried okay. a new question on you.
That's probably
new so, for you guys.
I think that these
so I'm
will
sure,
come up
yeah,
time
Laura
and time
Logan.
Again.
I'll keep going.
Laura Logan. Yeah.
He's like Laura.
At least, well, in my own defense, only one of them is fictional.
Right.
That's true, but I do like that answer because Sometimes it's not just the person, it's the character, the vibe.
Uh-huh. Right.
The West Wing character.
I also like that guy, like, for a character crush, I like that guy Nathan in Insecure.
Oh. I don't know how I've seen that. I thought you were going to say in Nathan for You.
I do like him too. What's the weirdest, like, what's the weirdest, like, celebrity that you would have sex with? Probably Nathan for You for me, or like Rogan.
The Nick weirdest Cole. Celebrity?
Oh, for me, what's it? Robert De Niro.
What if I was like, what if
that's,
I was like,
that's so, I feel, I'm picking up what you're putting down, Aaron. He's, you know, exactly. An older gentleman, but
Harry, what about you?
Dasha.
That is not hers. Is we heard.
No, just kidding. I wouldn't.
Wait, who
would.
Is that?
I don't agree with her politically.
Dasha who?
Dasha from the podcast Red Scare.
It's a, yeah, it's a.
It's our, imagine
indie pod.
Something Maria. Russian. Daria Maria.
Russian,
what is Dasha?
Right?
Russian.
This person, no. I think, is not the person you're talking about, but this person is also Russian.
Yeah, what Dasha is a very Russian name.
Interesting.
Seems like.
Never heard of her.
That's for the best.
Okay, well, we have another question for you guys, which is, what is something you learned from your parents about love?
So do you hear that music?
That's like, is this a new question also?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, what did you just ask?
What is? Isn't that right? What is something you've learned from your parents about love?
Oh my god, that's a good one.
Sorry, the car just drove by with, like, playing opera, and we only have one AirPod in, so I couldn't tell if it was coming from inside the house.
I think it's from my parents, not from their own marriage, because that failed, but they're divorced, which is fine. Good for, they're happier now. But that love takes many different forms. Because I think I've experienced love differently from each of them. My dad is an artist. My mom is a businesswoman. So my dad's form of love is, you know, go ahead, Aaron, go off, be independent. I believe in your creative vision, your creative endeavors, your risk taking, and understand the potential successes or consequences that may be associated with your decisions. And from my mom, it's like, okay, she's kind of like, she's stern, she's organized, her risks are calculated. So her form of love is maybe a little tougher. Do good in school, be independent, but get your work done first. You want to be a chef, get a job. She was, or her love was sort of like pushing me to achieve. And I think that, each of them wanted what's best for me in very different ways. So that's love, but in different forms, I would say. Does that make sense?
Totally. That's an awesome answer.
Yeah. And then I guess, yeah. Well, do you think you would, do you want to get married, I guess, is a follow-up question?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which I think diverges for most of my generation, that maybe they don't believe in commitment or belonging to someone else. I would say that I certainly do believe in commitment, because I think anything, I think that once you get into the point in your life where you're deciding to spend years or very tiny intimate moments with someone consistently, the lack of not getting married to me is a lack of commitment. It says like, I'm not really that serious about, you know, the relationship we're in. I'm not there yet. I think I'm far from that. But I don't really think it has to do with owning a title, husband or wife, or it's not about that. It's more about, you know, I found the person that I want to be with, and there's a sense of clarity in that choice that I don't wish to disrupt or misrepresent, I suppose. No one's ever asked me what I believe, you know, in terms of marriage, which is funny.
Yeah, and I actually don't even have an answer. I don't know if what I believe.
Oh, I want to get married.
Oh, really?
There's all, and the great thing about marriage is there's always the option for divorce.
Right.
It doesn't work. That's it true. Doesn't work out. and yeah, nothing's set in stone.
Yeah.
But
I want to get married twice.
I feel like I look forward to divorce more than I do marriage.
Get married specifically to get divorced.
Yeah.
And if you do get divorced, you can always say,
they're just like, I just got divorced. Meg Thee Stallion.
Yeah. You're drinking a Tecate at 10 a.m. I just got divorced.
if it doesn't end in divorce, I like the idea of being able to say, I tried, I jumped off a cliff for someone. I'm glad that I'm the kind of person who would do that for what he believed or she believed in, you know, at that time to the best of his or her ability. And now I'm going to walk away from it and hope to achieve that goal of happiness and companionship again.
You learning a lesson and growing from it.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that too.
Life's a lesson. You never stop learning, whether it's love or, you know, anything.
Or like how many shots it takes you to get black out.
I kind of, you know, can you really recall if you're blacked out how many shots it took?
Exactly.
You got to have a good friend who's keeping count. And hopefully, if your friend's really good, he keeps the bottle of passion fruit vodka well away from you.
He's like, that's what Dave does for me. The lesson I've learned from my parents? My parents are still together. They've known each other their whole lives. They're from El Salvador and they grew up in the same like village. So my dad was like the honk the donk of the village. And my mom was like, I want to be with him.
Big man on campus.
Yeah, he was older too. And then they like started dating and never stopped really. But it was like, it's been messy, but they are still together. And they're so opposite, but like, I don't know, they just make it work. So probably what I've learned from them is that, like, I feel like I'm really easy to like get annoyed with someone doing something that I don't like. I'm like, just don't do it. I don't like that you do that.
Communication. It's all about communication.
Just, like, and also just like accepting someone for who they are. Like
my girlfriend
more than I normally would.
She hates more than anything when people crack their knuckles, and I am addicted and I crack every knuckle, even the small ones. And we are constantly having this fight.
Yeah.
And she's going to have to learn to live with it.
I also don't like cracking knuckles. Oh. I did it on accident once to myself and I
stopped. Oh, that makes sense.
You got to break them in.
It distresses me too.
Match made. I could never go to like a chiropractor and like when they crack their back and they're just like
I'm cool with back cracking. I do a lot of standing in my profession, so you get, you know, your back gets stiff or your lower back gets compressed. And there's this if you've seen Braveheart, where at the end of the movie Mel Gibson has his hands and feet bound to horses that are running in opposite directions. They essentially stretch him that way. Sometimes when I'm getting a massage or something, I'm like, this isn't really doing it for me. I wish I was like Mel Gibson being pulled both ways by the horses.
You gotta bring in the horses. I totally get that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to be pulled.
Backcracking or stretch, or I think sometimes you've got to, like, you know, if life puts pressure on you, you've got to take equal and opposite pressure to experience relief.
So you'll strap your feet to horses, but you won't crack your knuckles.
Yeah.
No, who would crack their knuckles?
He'll tie a horse to a different finger and let them go crazy.
Put little ponies on a finger.
That's a stretch. It's good. Stretching is good.
Sometimes my boyfriend and I will just drag each other around the apartment by the arms to pop our pull our backs apart. Wow,
yeah, it
feels
terrific.
So good. Yeah, it feels sick.
You guys live alone, huh?
It's a good quality in a significant other if they'll pull you around your apartment by the arms or feet.
Not a lot,
even.
You know? Like a foot.
I like the one where you stand like this and the other person gets you from the back and then lifts you up. That's a good one. I trust that. That's really good.
There was a man, an older gentleman in my office right around the Me Too era was breaking, who would lift all the women up to crack their backs.
I'm like, me next.
Yeah, literally, we'd all be like reading the Harvey Weinstein, going like, this is fucked, me next. It was kind of wild, but it felt great. No one had ever done it for me before.
I was pressured into it, but I did like it.
Oh my God. Okay, I have a question.
Go for it, please.
What do you think makes each of you a good person to date?
Yeah, what are the perks of dating you?
I think I'm emotionally intelligent. And I think I get it from my dad, who's a sensitive man. I think I'm a sensitive man.
With and a good heart.
With sensitivity. Well, if you believe my friend Dave, you know, that's objective. I can't tell you. I have certain feelings about my he's not around now. You should really believe him, but he's not around. He can't, you know.
Yeah, he lives in Canada.
I would say emotional intelligence, strong sense of empathy. I do my best to be a good communicator. And recently, after some self-reflection, I really try hard not to interrupt someone while they're speaking. Mm. I think that's important.
You got to do that.
Let them finish, which is always hard because sometimes you've got the urge to make a comment before you forget that clever, totally. Important comment that you have. So taking notes is maybe a way to do that.
Do you cook for your partners or do you leave that at the office?
No, I cook every day and I probably cook at least two meals a day. And I don't trust chefs and cooks who go home and don't want to have anything to do with it and say, you know, that's work. I leave it at work because it's very different. Mm-hmm. I find it relaxing. I do really, really love to cook. It's a way to make sure that you're living a healthy lifestyle. And one of good substance, and then also to provide that for whoever you're with. So, I cook all the time. I cook with what I have on hand, which forces a little bit of ingenuity or creativity. And there are some good discoveries to be made there. And otherwise, you know, I like cooking for other people because it helps you understand, as a chef in a restaurant or even at home, that not everyone wants what you want. Taste is very personal. Mm-hmm. And if you can learn to think that way, then you can better serve anyone you're cooking for. I once dated and lived with a vegan. And it's not a deal breaker for me ever. You know, what you believe in is what you believe in. And it's something that's attractive, I think, in a human being that they hold firm to their beliefs. But for me, I had to think like, okay, how am I going to cook in a new and creative and fulfilling way where I'm not left behind and where the person I'm cooking for is satisfied and excited. So I consider myself now a pretty good vegan and vegetarian cook, but every once in a while when she was away, you know, dry aged New York strip.
Yeah.
It's fine on its own.
Sometimes I'm vegan for a day.
I've done the whole weekday vegan thing. I like that idea.
It's easy.
Yeah, or like meatless Mondays. Is that what they say to do?
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Yeah, I don't do it.
How are you going to know that every Monday I'm not in the mood for meat because it's Monday? When does that ever happen?
It's not about being in...
Yeah, I try to do once a week, maybe.
Mm. A steak is like your favorite like meaty dish?
Well, I also don't have favorites. I'm so bad at answering, you know, the question, what is your favorite? It's like totally mood based, totally dependent on product that's available or at its height of a season. Or, you know, aged beef, for example, dry aged beef is a really carefully curated process when it's done right. And depending on the type of beef, the cow that it's from, what it was raised on, how long it's been aged, you're going to get a different level of quality. So I have some butcher friends, and when they're like, I cut into something today and I think it's really spectacular, then I jump for it. But
I like going to a fancy restaurant and getting a burger. Like I went to Pastis for once in my life and I got a burger.
To where?
Pastis.
Oh yeah, Pastis is great.
But that was my order.
Was it like a fancy burger though?
It was burgers. A burger with cheese and like that's it. And like French fries. But it was delicious. I just don't like steak that much.
Yeah.
I do like red meat.
I think my go-to thing to cook for myself is a French omelet.
I love a French omelet. That's also,
oh, you do?
Actually, but I went to Pastis with a guy and he got a French omelet and I got a burger. It was kind of a perfect.
Yeah, it's a good splitting situation.
He could have gone to a diner, you know.
What is a French omelet?
I don't know.
A French omelet.
They say it.
Are four eggs usually? Four eggs cooked in a 5 to 7 inch pan, and it tests. it's a rolled omelet. It's a very technical object of cookery because
you cook it like this.
Well, no, that's tamago, Japanese.
I'm sorry, it's like this.
Kind of. So
interesting.
There's a few key elements involved in making a French omelet, which is, a very simple preparation. And as I think we all know, with simplicity, it's difficult because there's nothing to hide behind. It's really got to be perfect to be great. And any flaw is just emphasized because there's nothing else happening. So French omelet, in my training, in my opinion, is four eggs and some salt, and maybe it's finished with a brush of butter. Or some chives, but the first step is, can you season a pan? Seasoning a pan means, can you properly temper it and fill the pores in, open up the pores of the pan and fill them with fat to make a non-nonstick pan nonstick. Does that make sense? Okay, so first, can you condition your tools properly? Can you take a blue steel pan or a carbon steel pan or a stainless steel pan and make it a nonstick surface? Because a French omelet is a rolled omelet. It's got to roll right out of the pan. Okay, so it's very difficult.
You have like a bunch of butter, right?
Well, you've got to heat it enough that it opens up the pores. And once the pores are open, you fill them in with fat.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question about a pan that I bought recently.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm thinking about dogs. I got this pan, that green pan. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's supposed to be nonstick, but I'm going to show it to you. It's so dirty because everything sticks onto it. What am I doing wrong?
The expert.
It's like this.
Oh, I know the problem.
It's a green pan. That's what it's called.
I know immediately the problem. The barometric pressure in the room is off.
That's what I was thinking as well.
Right? Right? Isn't that what it is?
No. I was kidding. I don't know what. That is.
No, that it has nothing to do with it.
Damn, you got me.
I don't.
What do I do about this?
I don't use like high tech pans like this. I don't know.
It's not high tech. It's just I got it at
Harry was
World Market.
I'm skeptical. I stick to like the brands
who
I like, and so I know how to use them. But like a new thing, it requires some research and development and some failures and adjustments. And, I have
nothing to say about this. It's a brand new pan. And look at how much stuff is stuck on.
I can see that it's a brand new pan, but I don't think that brand new equates to a pan of quality just because it's new.
I guess.
Would you get a satisfying answer.
I got it at World Market. I just want to know like how to fix it, what I'm doing wrong.
Leave baking soda and water in it overnight.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I moved in with my boyfriend and immediately burnt out the entire bottom of his favorite pot. So I had to learn how to fix it.
Oh, God. Anyways, so that was my question.
Do you cook a lot? Do you like to cook?
I do cook. I don't cook meat, just because I never really have, and I'm kind of scared of keeping it raw, and like not knowing. But I don't do anything fancy. I make a lot of omelets.
Good, very good.
And I like saute a lot of vegetables and roast vegetables.
Also
and
very good.
That's kind of it, really. It's vegetable based.
Gotcha.
Anything
from San Salvador? Or El Salvador?
No, like there's not a lot of like popular cuisine from El Salvador except for pupusas, okay, which are really hard to make, and mm-hmm. I've tried so many times and it's impossible.
Okay.
But it's also nice to like be able to go home and have that there and it's kind of like a treat every time.
Of course. If you have it all the time, it's not special.
Right, exactly. And mine wouldn't be as good as my mom's anyways, so I could try. But that's kind of it. That's all I really cook. I love breakfast. Breakfast is my favorite meal to cook.
Oh, what do you cook for breakfast?
The omelet.
Just like a delicious omelet or a delicious breakfast sandwich or an awesome like avocado toast or something. It's like the easiest thing to make.
I do a great breakfast where...
What is it?
This is going to blow your mind.
I'm like,
ready?
I've done it.
Cold pizza. Hot coffee. Cold pizza and hot coffee.
Yeah, I love cold pizza for breakfast.
You sip the coffee on the side. I'm not suggesting you dip or pour the coffee on the pizza.
Huh. The two extremes.
Yeah.
I have like, the only time I've ever had cold pizza for breakfast is when I'm like really drunk and wake up and then like eat it because I need sustenance. To get over it. I'm like still black out in the morning.
my other favorite breakfast, actually, I usually eat before I go to bed. And I don't eat it all the time. It's like, but when you have one of these almost blackout drunk nights, and we've all been there, the Redhead Bar in the East Village, 2 a.m. on a Tuesday.
You go across the street.
You go across the street to the bodega, and you get the bacon, egg, and cheese, and hash brown on a roll. Mm-hmm. And the hash browns are integral to the success of the sandwich.
I agree. I've recently, have you guys know Greenberg?
No.
Yes.
Okay. I know a lot of Greenbergs.
It's a really good bagel shop. There's one in Bed-Stuy and there's one in Williamsburg, I think. But they do a bacon, egg, and cheese bagel with hash brown inside.
So good.
Oh, man.
There are a few greater luxuries in life than double starch.
Hell yeah.
Double starch. Yeah.
Yeah, double starch.
Wait, Sandy, what makes you a good partner? What are the perks of dating Sandy?
I think I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And
what makes you fun? let's pick this apart, I like to have
big laughs and chill and just vibe. Next question.
Essential vibing.
just vibing. here's a good, like, there's a Harry Styles lyric that's like about like there's a piece of you in the way that I dress. I feel like that's that I would like to leave onto people that I've dated.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
Kind of romantic.
Because they steal your supreme windbreakers.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's awesome. That's a good lyric. I thought you were going to say watermelon sugar heart.
Heart?
Isn't that the song?
I don't know a single Harry Styles song. I know what you're talking about.
Oh.
Tara Wack song about... dating that guys makes more that sense. Just dress like her.
Mm. Oh, probably. Yeah. Tara Wack.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know it either.
That is kind of what I'm looking for, though.
Well, that's great. Should we do...
Yeah, first date.
Yeah. Do you guys have questions that you want to ask each other?
Sure. I guess my question is, and don't expect this to be a good question. I want to keep your expectations low. because this is like the question you like asking, what is the question you would ask a first date that like puts you on the spot big time.
And you actually have already asked a lot of questions, but yeah, but we're still asking.
I would just want to know what sets you apart from other people in your life? What makes you unique? What makes you you?
That's a big question. I feel like I'm on an interview. And I'm like, my weaknesses are.
Feel free to answer in 10 parts with subsections.
Provide references.
I don't know. I feel like I also don't know who you've dated. What if every girl you've dated is the same exact person as me? I don't know. It's cool that my parents are immigrants. So it's kind of different. And
that is different. Yeah, that's great.
That's awesome.
That's a different life perspective comes with that, you know?
Right. I guess that we both work in different industries, which would be interesting for both of us. I'm like, here's the reasons why we should date.
Well, if we're talking about reasons why we should date, let me just say, I've got a really nice high-powered blender at home.
I'm like, awesome. Eddie's million-dollar cook-off. Just make that glue.
Put some glizzies in there.
Well, glizzies came up because in Eddie's million-dollar cook-off or whatever it's called, I think that's it. He makes glizzies after his practices. That's his like introduction to cooking. Is that his like him putting his toppings on it?
Speaking of glizzies, one of my all-time favorite, I guess, sort of kind of Central and South American dishes is something called salchipapas, which you might be familiar.
Yeah, it's French fries and
sliced up hot dogs, like griddled with French fries. Ooh. And sometimes this like pale green emulsified sauce, kind of like a thin mayonnaise,
which might be avocado crema.
It could be avocado, but it's usually pretty spicy. So I think it's probably serranos or jalapenos and garlic and oil and salt.
Oh, I have another question for you.
About? Okay.
I do know what you're talking about. And salchipapa, it's called that because it's like salchicha means hot dog in Spanish.
Yes, and papa.
And then papa, sir.
French fries. Huh.
And chef just means manager.
Chef is like when you say like I'm an associate. Associate to what?
Wait, what was my question gonna be?
What do you associate with?
it was about like hot dogs.
You had a great question. Does that help?
Oh my god.
What was it about?
It was about hot dog culture.
Like sometimes when people slice the hot dog down the middle, you know? Like Five Guys does.
Yeah, but it's harder to eat that way in salty papas. Oh, you were going to ask me the question.
Your first date question. Okay, nice. I remember.
Perhaps.
Okay, this isn't my first date question, but don't let me forget. I'm just going to say it. Okay, so I've had a lot of poblano peppers lately. That's what I've been like eating. Like that's kind of my pepper addition to the dish. And it's kind of fun because it's a different taste than just like a normal green pepper. I learned that from Bobby Flay, one of my favorite chefs.
Yeah, grilling and chilling.
One of your favorite managers. And
associate. Yeah. And
Bobby Flay is one of these funny chefs that no longer has a restaurant. So what? What is he?
Reality star.
First on Food Network.
Okay, but you're about talk about poblanos.
Yes. Okay, don't let me forget. Okay, so I had one recently that I was chopping up, and like to the chop, it was so spicy. Like my eyes were watering because it was so, and I've never had something like that. And then I cooked it and I ate it, and it was really spicy. What's up with that?
What is up with that? Could be a few things. Could be climate. I would say it heavily relies on climate.
The amount of capsaicin. About the bio energy of my dome.
Yeah,
climate change, actually.
The food that you eat is a product of.
Is it because New York has changed to subtropical?
Well, the poblano pepper is not from New York. Well, maybe it's from New York. Unlikely. Unlikely.
Okay, wait. So September. Really, you're saying that it was grown in
actually, sun exposure could have a lot to do with it. Water exposure could have a lot to do with it. Heat has a lot to do with it. And other times it could just be like, if it's non-spicy, could be a dud. If it's super spicy, could be a dud. You know, it's nature. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about nature is that really there are no rules. It's not consistent. And then even more awesome than that is it leaves it up to the skill of the cook how to best utilize it.
Well,
how do you know before you cook it?
If it's
the best chefs are always tasting. If I cook an omelet, I taste the raw.
Me in the grocery store.
My dad would take me grocery shopping as a kid.
You get kicked out of the grocery store.
I'm like dipping into peanut butter. I'm like gulping down ginger ale.
If you're a good sampler, okay, then you are a better consumer. So it should be the grocery store's prerogative that you as the grocery shopper actually be tasting the produce.
There's a dog.
And anything that's this is Javi. Hi, Javi. Javi's got like some really bad dental health.
Dental or mental?
mental. Well, we don't know inside his head, but probably both. And you got to ask me your other question, your first day question.
Okay,
put me on the spot here. Let's see, you know.
Oh, I mean, don't challenge me, but.
You challenge me. I want a challenge.
I gave you two challenges and you answered one of them. I'm like, let's go back. Let's revisit this.
And?
The pan. Yeah.
Okay, here's my question. It's an easy one.
Okay. Let's see if I can make this difficult. Go ahead.
Okay. If just knowing what you know about me from these 40 minutes that we've spent together, what's the dish that you would make for me?
Mm. What's a dish that I would make for you? What's a
you
dish
like funnel cake
for you?
Another one.
There's three different dogs on your
list. I'm gonna overwhelm you with cute dogs, so you'll like me. Hi, Pancho.
What's that one's name?
That's Pancho.
Looks like Dobby. Aww.
Pancho Lopez. He does look like Dobby. We're telling everyone this all the time. He looks like Dobby. my friend Liz's dogs. We opened a restaurant together once. What would I cook for you, knowing you, for 45 minutes? I think it's something I might cook for you is the tortilla española, the Spanish tortilla, which is one of these really simple, hard to do preparations. You basically fry potatoes and onions in olive oil until they're mostly cooked, and you reserve the olive oil, and then you would beat some eggs and take the warm potatoes and onions and temper them in the egg for some time, add the reserved oil back to a pan and sort of fry it until that omelet cooks from the bottom through, invert it onto a plate, slip it back into the pan and set it again. And what you have is, so it's called a Spanish tortilla. I don't know why they call it tortilla, but it's a Spanish word.
Mm-hmm. It sounds a little familiar.
Why do we call it corn tortillas? It's a tapa, like a tapas.
Tapas are my favorite, like tapas and meze are my favorite kind of restaurant because I hate to have to decide on one thing to eat.
Right. It's great to have like a variety of things. But I like this one because it's really subtle, but it's texturally, when it's done right, it's like really texturally pleasant. It's an easy breakfast or lunch, great mouthfeel. Subtle in flavor, so it's good for earlier in the day. And on a date, it's not overwhelming. So I think dates are should be about approachability, the first one. The second one, you know, maybe a little more provocative, like, you know, if this is getting serious, then I got to get to know you and let me see how you respond to some adversity. Because the true measure of a person is how they respond to conditions that are less than perfect, I would say.
Do you like put a hair in their food? See how they respond?
I have a hypothetical.
No. Okay.
That is totally unrelated to cooking. Or I mean, it's related. What's that? To cooking. Would you take this deal? get $1 off every food you purchase for the rest of your life, but guaranteed there's a hair in it.
No.
$1 off. That adds up.
That's about like how much
the Cactus Jack burger is like only $8 then.
Okay.
Do you mean at restaurants or do you mean also groceries? Oh my God.
Not groceries. Oh. But any.
Harry maybe, doesn't know me. Like, it's clear that Harry doesn't know me or have any positive intuition about me because I'm difficult, number one, and I'm not going to give you the easy answer. I will always pay more money. I want to pay more money for better food that supports the people that produce it. And I don't want hair in my food. I don't want to discount for something that's not good in the first place. We got another dog. We got another dog coming. So if you didn't like me enough,
oh my God. It's
how many total?
It's so
that
cute.
Was you're a really
so start
cute
eating.
One.
I'll be there in a minute. Before this, I was cooking a Spanish omelet. I had, and I'm with a couple chefs here, so they took over.
Cute.
Nice. Yeah, that's nice. You can just trade off.
I'm always cooking stuff on vacation.
Oh, wait.
Okay,
I have another
you got
question.
A follow-up question? Great.
Yeah, it is kind of a piggyback off of Harry's question. Okay, so Travis Scott has his own McDonald's meal going on right now. Have you heard of it?
Actually, believe it or not, I was at a McDonald's today for the first time in about 4 or 5 years. I saw the Travis Scott meal. No, I didn't get the Travis Scott meal. I don't want any beef from McDonald's. There's a number of things I feel safe eating from McDonald's. They are French fries, iced coffee, McFlurry.
McFlurries are awesome. Okay, so that's your Travis Scott meal. That's what it is.
That's your Travis Scott.
That's your meal.
It's a lot of liquid.
Yeah.
Well, what's French your fries Travis are not Scott? Liquid. And iced coffee is sort of like one of those things that you should probably consume twice a day for maximum productivity as a human being.
Do you not like junk food? Do you not like fast food?
I love junk food. I like good junk food. I like Jack in the Box. I like Popeyes.
Popeyes is good. What's your favorite? Okay, McDonald's, Wendy's, heavy hitters.
I don't like McDonald's. I don't like Wendy's. I don't like Burger King.
I like Burger King.
I like the second tier fast food, which is actually better. Like Popeyes Arby's? Is great. Jack in the Box,
really
late night is good.
Oh, I don't like Jack in the Box. And I love all of them.
In and Out.
What's that Midwest fast food?
Culver's?
Yes.
Culver's is amazing.
Culver's is so good. The
Culver's
t-shirt.
Keeps it small and keeps quality under control. McDonald's doesn't know quality. Yeah, Butterburgers.
McDonald's is good. McDonald's is good.
Oh, you said it 4 times, so I like it a lot more.
I love Magda's.
This is I love the Don's. I get a cheeseburger, 4-piece McNugget, fries, and then a McFlurry. That's McFlurry is my drink for my Travis Scott meal.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
I do
sounds
love,
good.
Like that he has Sprite in his, so classic.
Yeah, classic. The spicy Sprite. My boyfriend calls bubbly water spicy water because he doesn't like it and it is spicy.
I've come around on it.
Yeah.
Word. Oh, yeah. Shit. Harry just showed us the time. We're over an hour, guys, so we can about wrap up before our listeners get anxious. They need to pee, you know, whatever. But
do you guys have anything that you want to promote while you're on here?
Promote.
Yeah, if you have like social media organization,
your business,
you know, whatever,
sure. A restaurant that's struggling.
I do want to promote something. Yeah, I didn't think about this angle, but let me promote something. I engage in a very particular hobby, which is like photography, but I do it with my phone. I call it phonography. And so I have a new Instagram I made called Phonography. By Aaron, Aron, just one A.
So, amazing.
If you want some awesome phonos, which is like a photograph, but with a phone.
Oh my God. It's a camera. You might prefer...
also, most Instagrams have photos taken on phones.
You must be 18 years or older to follow.
They're all dick pics.
And it's premium phonography, which is free for the duration of COVID.
Amazing.
No surcharge. Premium phonos.
Where should the Okay Stupid listeners be going on dates in New York City? Can you plug a few restaurants?
Yeah, especially in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm not going to start with Brooklyn. So there's a few different there's a few different types of dates that you should go on. My favorite type of date is the day date, because you're not really going to get drunk. You can see everything clearly. I'm all about this like simplicity, nowhere to hide thing. You should go to a restaurant in Soho. It's called Cafe Jetan. It's like a French Moroccan cafe. Food's good, not great, but it's super cute. Really fun. puts you right in the heart of Soho. So there's nice places to walk around. There's stuff to do. Shout out to a restaurant called Norita in the East Village. We're talking like First Avenue and between 8th and 9th or something, between St. Mark's and 9th, or maybe it's between 7th and 8th. I don't remember. Korean Hawaiian, which is kind of cool. The chefs are very classically French trained and technically amazing, and some really interesting flavors there. Otherwise, let's see. There's a restaurant now, if you want to go take a little bit of a step up in terms of it's casual, but not like cheap, not like super, a little more serious. There's a restaurant called King in the West Village. Menu changes daily. Very charming.
Ooh.
Great outdoor seating and fantastic cocktails. Italian, like Provençal and Ligurian cuisine, I would say. That's great. Awesome. If you're feeling really comfortable with your date, you can go to Mamoun's Falafel on McDougal Street in the Village, and use some of the hot sauce.
Yeah, I love Mamoun's.
Blow your mind. Who has?
I love Mamoun's. I was craving it.
Oh, you have. Like, okay, I'm getting a little weird sound stuff going on. Yeah, amazing.
What about Brooklyn though?
In Brooklyn, there's a restaurant I really like in Park Slope called Miriam on Fifth Avenue and Prospect Place, which is kind of Israeli Mediterranean. I really like Mediterranean. Mediterranean.
Me too.
What else in Brooklyn?
Have you been to the Four Horsemen?
I love Four Horsemen. I just have trouble getting to Williamsburg. I think the Sunday menus they do are great when they kind of switch up the theme. Mm-hmm. Four Horsemen's, fantastic.
Have you been to Winsun?
Winsun, I like as well.
Bacon, egg, and cheese on a scallion pancake.
So,
wait, did we talk about this? We might have talked about Winsun. You mentioned you have a friend at Winsun.
Yeah, I have a friend that used to work there. Yeah, and they opened a bakery too. So now they have these amazing like red bean donuts and stuff.
That donut is so good. I didn't have it. It's delicious.
I was never into the red bean. I'm an adventurous eater, but I think there's like two foods I don't like. I don't like the sweet red bean paste, and I don't like raisins.
I get that.
Don't come at me with raisins, please. I don't even like the proximity of a raisin to something else.
I had a teacher that would give you detention if you brought a banana into her classroom.
That's unreasonable.
That's a little extra.
It happened to my friend.
She's canceled.
Yeah, she forgot. It was
She's canceled. Don't get me started on cancel culture. I want to cancel culture. A lot of people have right and moral thinking, and a lot of people have wrong and degenerate thinking. But American society, I think that fidelity to freedom and liberty means an open marketplace of ideas where you are allowed to argue to the fullest extent of your ability with other people. And cancel culture is the canceling of the opportunity to argue and exchange ideas, whether they're perceived to be right or wrong or politically correct or not, or fashionable or not. I'd like to cancel culture.
Yeah, well, I feel like everyone just thinks they're right now.
It's a problem with our generation. It doesn't really want to dig into the issues and learn the history of them and learn laws and read the city code before they go to bed at 3 o'clock on a Saturday morning. You got to we need a little bit more involvement from whatever. What is our generation X or something? Millennial or?
Or millennial. Really, you wish you were Gen X. You wish you were Gen X. cancel culture, I'm okay with.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? I don't want to hear about it. I'm going to cancel that.
Yeah. I'm like, you're canceled. I'm like, I already erased everything you just did.
I'm going to follow your belief system and just tell you not to talk about it anymore.
I'm going to cancel myself.
That doesn't feel very good.
It doesn't
feel very good to tell.
I'm really good at just like cutting people off.
Thanks, Sandy. You know
listening is not easy. Being a good listener is not easy. I think we should all try a little harder.
That's true. Fair enough.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
September goals.
September goals.
Like, wake me up at September
end. Right. Sandy, is there anything you want to plug? Social media or anything?
I guess I'll plug my own Instagram handle, which is at official Sandy Malera. I've been thinking about changing it to at La Nicki Minaj. You guys know that line?
Yes. It's so good.
I want to change it to that.
It might be taken.
I haven't even checked because I don't want to lose mine also. and then I'll plug, that's it. I guess my Twitter, which is just Sandy Malera.
Cool.
Great.
Easy. Be careful with what you say on Twitter, because like 10 years from now, something totally innocent might in the current or future social climate be like taboo.
You mean in 10 minutes from now when I cancel your ass on Twitter?
You can try to cancel me. No, can't cancel this. I'll just make a new Twitter. Thank you.
If only it was that easy.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you guys. Eat
some wild stuff about not liking raisins.
Yeah. I don't
know. And that's gonna come back to bite you.
Oh yeah, big time.
All right. Well, I don't think you got anything to plug.
No, we're good. We're gonna be selling t-shirts soon.
Oh yeah, t-shirts soon, and smash that subscribe to our Patreon.
Yeah.
Nice. I'd like a t-shirt, but I'm a size medium. Like in between.
We got those. Medium.
I'll shrink a medium for you.
Yeah. Push on cotton.
Just throw it in the dryer. Hot.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for listening, and put in next week.